on who's delivering it. Time now for the news, though, and after the news, we'll be back with more.
I'm Sarah Warmby. Australia has a new Grand Slam singles champion, with Queenslander Ashleigh Barty winning the French Open final 6-1, 6-3 against Czech teenager Markéta Vondrousova. Dozens of Ash Barty hometown fans stayed up late to watch the match on the big screen in Ipswich, west of Brisbane. Fans at the North Ipswich Corporate Centre say they're very happy.
It's just awesome that a girl from Ipswich has gone on to win the French Open. So, yeah, I couldn't be happier right now.
It was great to see Ashleigh do so well. What a great game. She made very few errors, and yeah, we're very proud of her performance tonight.
She's such a great spirit, so much grit, and just like a real role model for Queenslanders, for girls, for all of Australia.
A search continues today at a Brisbane home over the suspected murder of a US woman who disappeared as police continue to question her ex-partner. Priscilla Bruton disappeared from Bracken Region July last year but wasn't reported missing until December. The 46-year-old was a keen gamer, and police believe she may have raised fears about her safety to the online community before her disappearance. Tasmania police have arrested a man allegedly carrying the drug ice worth more than $220,000 aboard the Spirit of Tasmania. The 46-year-old passenger was discovered when police sniffer dogs conducted random searches at the Spirit of Tasmania dock at Devonport yesterday morning. Detective Inspector Kate Chambers has told the ABC it's a significant seizure.
For us, value is measured in the reduction in harm to the community, and from that perspective, this seizure is approximately 2,260 street deals of methamphetamine. And they are street deals out of the vulnerable hands of vulnerable Tasmanians.
Also in news, a woman's body has been pulled from the water after an ultralight plane crashed into a Victorian lake yesterday afternoon. Four people are in hospital and one is fighting for life after a car slammed into a power pole in Western Sydney. A boat with two men and a child has capsized off Queensland's Sunshine Coast this morning, and speed limits across Western Australia could drop by 10 kilometres an hour under recommendations by the state's Road Safety Authority. Finance ministers from the world's 20 largest countries are gathering in Japan for meetings ahead of the G20 leader summit later this month. Our US correspondent Priscilla Huff has a preview of the key issues.
For the G20 finance ministers, the risk to stable economic growth is, quote, intensified trade and geopolitical tensions, Reuters reports. U.S. President Donald Trump insists he's a tariff man, and yet that position could spark a full-blown trade war with China, which recently raised exports on rare earths, which are essential for high-tech products. And on technology, the IMF is warning that too few tech firms have too much control over data and especially financial products. Priscilla Huff, Washington.
And a helicopter mission to retrieve the bodies of five climbers spotted on a Himalayan mountain has again been postponed due to the strong turbulence. Sydney mountaineer Ruth McCants is missing, presumed dead on Nanda Devi East, along with British team leader Martin Moran, three other UK climbers, two men from the United States and an Indian liaison officer. This is Air News. Ash Barty has crowned her incredible comeback to tennis with a stunning French Open final triumph. Barty is Australia's first French Open singles champion in 46 years after crushing Czech teenager Markéta Vondrousova 6-1, 6-3.
Barty with championship point. She's done it! Ashleigh Barty wins her maiden Grand Slam singles title, and it comes here in Paris at Roland Garros.
The new Queen of Clay will also pocket a cool $3.74 million after taking out her maiden Grand Slam at a tournament where she'd never passed the second round in her five previous visits. Earlier, Dominic Thiem beat world number one Novak Djokovic 6-2, 3-6, 7-5, 5-7, 7-5 to meet Rafael Nadal in a second straight French Open final between the pair. Maligned Adelaide forward Josh Jenkins has booted three goals in a precious 21-point AFL win against GWS. Jenkins was the standout forward in a tight encounter at Adelaide Oval, helping his side triumph 12-10-82 to 9-7-61. There were also wins for North Melbourne and Carlton. In the NRL, Manly has hung on for a 22-20 win over North Queensland in Townsville. Cronulla beat Parramatta 42-22, and Melbourne were too good for New Zealand, winning 32 points to 10. And there were wins for the Crusaders and the Brumbies in the Super Rugby. Australian Independent Radio News.
Our customers love having a local shop, but I need more funds to help keep my shelves stocked.
When you're ready to grow your business, you should call OnDeck, the small business loan specialist. OnDeck Group has lent over $10 billion US dollars to over 80,000 small businesses globally. Get approval in hours and funds in your account as early as the next business day. At OnDeck, we say yes to small business. So for a loan to help you get ahead, apply now at ondeck.com.au. All loans are subject to lender approval.
Satisfaction. There's payday satisfaction.
Yes.
Perfect lawn satisfaction.
Yes.
Hole-in-one satisfaction.
Yes.
Then there's getting an Amarok V6 Auto starting from $49,990 drive away with a 5-year unlimited kilometre warranty satisfaction. Plus, for a limited time across all Amarok V6 models, 3 years free scheduled servicing. Get some end of financial year satisfaction at Volkswagen today. Conditions and exclusions apply. Visit Volkswagen.com.au.
Don't whinge and whine about the traffic. Think of the wine you'll have at home. A glass of Windy Peak Cabernet Sauvignon. By De Bortoli, of course. Here's the traffic.
Get caught speeding this long weekend and you'll face double the points. With double demerits in force until midnight Monday, the 10th of June, you can stop it or cop it. In French's Forest, roadworks are affecting Wakehurst Parkway today between Warringah Road and Aquatic Drive. Wakehurst Parkway south of Aquatic Drive to Seaforth will be open to northbounders only. And in Mascot, we've got minor delays to the airport, busy on Mar Street as you approach the international terminal. Enjoy 40% off Bonds, men's, women's and kids' underwear and socks at Big W. Hurry, offer ends on the 19th of June at Big W. Excludes baby, apparel and everyday range. I'm Solomon Gates, number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Sydney's weather today, areas of morning fog lifting now into a sunny afternoon, light winds becoming west to northwesterly, 15 to 20 k's in the middle of the day, lovely afternoon, top of 22 in Sydney. James, what about out at Hawkesbury, just near Richmond there, and the Sapphire Coast?
Yeah, Hawkesbury, of course, no surprise there, that is a top temperature of 22 degrees, and the maximum temperature down on the Sapphire Coast, a sunny day today, and 19 degrees.
Superbly on the work done with the bat by Smith and Coulter-Nile.
Knights closing in on a third try, maybe. A third try, yes. Watson has slid his way over. Liverpool FC and Johan.
Pressing for France. Here's Henri.
Chance. Goal. The opening goal of the 2019 Women's World Cup. And lock it away for another Melbourne Storm try.
Jerry Evans finds a little angle. Awkward for the fullback. And Cade Cust picks up the scraps. And Manly are going to regain the lead here.
She's done it. Ashley Barty wins her maiden Grand Slam singles title. And it comes here in Paris at Roland Garros.
And now, overnight scores, expert comment and controversy on the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Here's Jimmy Smith and Ray Thomas.
It is 8 minutes past nine on this Sunday morning. It's a big hour coming up, the last hour of the program. Ray Gatt very shortly to talk us through the Matildas, this first game against Italy. You're an insider there too, Ray Thomas, too. With
Claire
Polkinghorne.
Claire
Polkinghorne is your cousin.
My cousin's daughter is over there, Alison. I tried to contact her during the week, had no luck. She probably tried to avoid me, but
well, hang on. Can we see how that goes? The phone goes.
There was no return call, yeah.
Can I call you later?
Exactly. But we'll ask Ray very shortly if Claire's in the starting team. I think she is for the opening game. And go to Matildas.
Sports update with Tanya as well. And, of course, Dean Bulldog Richie with all the latest news in rugby league. We're going to take your calls on the open line, 1353-53. We have talked a lot of footy, of course, as all codes going on at the moment. Well done to the Brumbies. Their win over the Waratahs yesterday. So that effectively puts the Waratahs out of Super Rugby. But the big story of the day is Ash Barty has become the champion of Roland Garros.
The Barty Party. Love
him. Now number two in the world, and she's motivated us for our talk topic today, and that is popular stars. Mm. So sports stars can fall into a number of different categories, but sometimes you find those very special ones that are universally loved no matter what they do. And I'm pretty sure that at age 23, Ash Barty falls into the category of
100%.
No one can say anything but positive things about this girl from Ipswich.
I was reading an ESPN story this morning. All the tweets from around the world congratulating Ash. A lot of her tennis players, her peers, but also politicians. Hugh Jackman chimed in, etc. It was tremendous stuff and an acknowledgement for Australia's newest Grand Slam champion.
6-1, 6-3, very comfortable for her in the end. There has been an upset over there. Dominic Thiem has beaten Novak Djokovic in their semi-final. So
7-5
that means
in the fifth, James.
Yeah.
We're deep into the fifth set, so
it's a Nadal v. Thiem final, and he's going for his 12th.
That's staggering.
12th French Open. Let's find out what Ash Barty had to say, though, after her first French Open win.
Yeah, it still is a week closer to grass. Knowing that that was my last match on clay for close to a year is amazing. The way that I was able to play today was phenomenal. And even though I still don't get to play on the clay very often, I think our relationship's changed a little.
She loves it now.
Funny. Our relationship has changed a little. So you have a relationship with the surface that you play on. So grass is her favourite surface,
go
right?
Wimbledon.
So here we are going into Wimbledon, and we're trying to look at...
Wasn't she a Wimbledon Juniors singles champion?
Very well spotted.
Yeah
absolutely. Let's have a look at the Wimbledon women's futures at tab. Serena Williams is the favourite there at $5. Petra Kvitova, Angelique Kerber, fourth in the line of betting at $9. Equal third, actually. Angelique Kerber, Ash Barty, and Naomi Osaka all there at $9. So
there you go.
She is well and truly in the mix. 13:53:53 is that open line number. Yes, we do have a Godolphin cap, a Winx book by Ray Thomas, and a wingman, carton of wingman beer, which may or may not make its way.
Have you addressed that issue?
I'm addressing it.
Okay.
I'm addressing it. So, Jason at Naruma.
Poor fellow. And Brian from Wall's End. He's been waiting 13 weeks.
I'm worried about Mick. Mick from Naruma,
he's
who claims he's
problem.
The delivery man.
He's got the drinking problem.
He loves the wingman, apparently. So this is where you have some problems. But anyway, we'll get across those throughout the course of the next couple of months. 13:53:53
is
the open line number. Hey, we've got our second legend of the game, and we love speaking to stars of the past. And we had a retirement during the course of the week of a man I think we both acknowledge and respect very greatly, who said no more writing on the game of football. And we thought it'd be a great time to get him on and have a chat. Of course, we've got the Women's World Cup, and Australia is going into that as one of the favourites, and we're excited about that. So we've got former journalist.
He still is until Tuesday.
Oh, Tuesday, sorry. We've got journalist. Well, I don't know why we got him on then, if he's still a working journalist. Morning, Ray.
Good morning, Jimmy. Good morning, Ray.
Good morning, Ray.
Hey, mate, how does a lovely bloke like you get wound up in an occupation like journalism?
Long story. I never, to be honest, I never ever thought I'd get this, get this far and have this sort of career. I think, I wasn't that great at school, and growing up in Cabramatta, I thought, probably I'd end up in the bank as a bank teller, but look, things fell my way, fortunately. Lucky to get a copy boy's job at the Telegraph, and things moved from there very, very quickly. So, look, it's been a privilege and a real honour, and I still pinch myself every day to have had such a fantastic job getting paid to cover sport. What more could you want?
Yeah, no, it's hard to beat, isn't it, Ray? Good morning. Thanks for joining us. And,
thanks, Ray.
And, Ray, is it right in the early days you were doing a fair bit of racing?
I did, Brandon. I started my cadetship at the Telegraph in the early 70s and worked under, and you know these names very well, Keith Robbins, Johnny Curtis and Chris Schultz. So, I did my early years as a journalist, as a cadet racing rider. So,
Ray,
I got to interview T.J. Smith, Bart Cummings and Ronnie Quinton, Kevin Langby, Malcolm Johnston. So, That was a good part of my career, to be honest.
Well, Ray, one of those gentlemen is actually listening, Johnny Curtis. He said, morning, boys. Please congratulate young Ray Gatt for me on a wonderful career. A pleasure to be associated with him in his early days in journalism. He is a credit to his family and his profession. A real gentleman. Best wishes, Johnny Curtis.
Yeah, great man, John. proud that he was one of my mentors. He was always there with a kind word or a cap of bum, you know, you've got to do it this way or that way. But, yeah, fantastic guy. And he's achieved a lot in racing as well, as you know.
Ray, and one of the things that struck me was and it's often a place where you don't find so many positive comments, but across social media when you announced your retirement, it was almost an outpouring of love. Did you get a sense of that?
I did, and I was blown away. I think I said it was gobsmacked by it. You know, I couldn't believe it. Look, social media, it's a tough, you know, whatever you want to call it. It's not a business, but it's a tough outlet, and, you know, you cop it, you know, you put your head on the chopping block there, and there's a lot of people want to cut it off. But, yeah, I was blown away by that. And, I'll take that with me forever, to be honest.
Hey, Ray, why now? Because I think you're still at the top of your game and you're reporting on the world of football. It's a must-read for anyone interested in the sport. Why now, Ray?
Ray, well, to be honest, it was a no-brainer. Look, I was going to go on for one more season in the A-League, but there were redundancies at News Corp, you know, and I thought I'd put my hand up and give it a try. They knocked me back once last year, and I thought they wouldn't do it again. But, yeah, they accepted it, which is, you know, yeah, which was fine by me. Look, you can't go on forever, to be honest. So, you know, there's a lot of good young journos out there, and it's a young man's world now, or young person's world. So, I look forward to seeing a lot of these young people, you know, making a contribution to Australian football.
What's the standout moment? What's the standout interview for you across your career, Ray?
Jimmy, look, I got the honour of interviewing Pele several times.
Wow.
Maradona, you know, they stand out of interviewing TJ Smith and Mark Cummings and some of the racing guys. You know, they'll stand out, but... you know, if you're looking for a standout moment, obviously 2005, that World Cup qualifier at ANZ Stadium when John Aloisi scored that penalty and we qualified for the World Cup for the first time in 32 years. But, yeah, and obviously I became great friends with Rally Rasic, who took 74 Socceroos to the World Cup. I was honoured to write his biography. And through Rally, I got to become friends with a lot of those people from the players from the 74 Socceroos, got invited to a lot of their reunions and get-togethers. So, yeah, those things stand out for me.
Mm-hmm. Was football always your first love in terms of journalism, Ray?
Interesting. Probably racing was, to be honest, Ray. Having served with my cadetship in racing, that was probably the first love. But obviously then I got moved on to cover general sport and then soccer became a huge part, but also did a lot of rugby league. I was fortunate to, in my latter days at the Telegraph, late 70s, to work under Ian Heads and Ray Chesterton, and there was a young guy called Phil Rothfield who'd come under the desk, and when I was brought on to do a little rugby league, he came up to me and said, "You're not going to take my job, are you, mate?" I said, "Faz, no, I don't want your job." So then I moved on to the Herald, and I also did a bit of racing under Bert Lilly and Alan Spears and the late Ian Manning race, so you remember them, and a bit of rugby league under Alan Clarkson. So,
with the great
interesting times.
Yeah, absolutely. I was talking to Mark Bosnich the other day before the Bill and Boz program. Your name came up, and he said, "I remember him interviewing me as a youngster. He thought it was 1986 or 87. And described you as a gentleman there, first and foremost. So, I guess when you're getting feedback like that, and especially someone like Bozza who calls a spade a bloody shovel, that must be endearing for you as well, right?
Oh, it is. I made friends with a lot of the players, respect them totally, and they've given me that respect back. I remember that interview with Bozza, it was about 86. A guy called Ron Corrie, one of our greatest Socceroos and goalkeeping coach, he tipped me in and this kid, he said, "Oh, this kid's going to be in something. You should do a story on him." So I got in contact with Bozza, and I was getting yes, no. And he called me Mr. Gatz, but yeah. And he's a certainly different person now, but fantastic memories, those. Mm.
Where is Australian football at the moment, Ray? Obviously, Arne's in charge of the national team. We've got the Matildas, which... I'm interested in your thoughts, how far they can go in the World Cup. Where's Australian football at the moment?
Tough times at the moment, Ray. Look, yeah, our game is, yeah, you take one step forward and two steps back, but a few issues there that need to be resolved with the independent A-League. We need that to get going. We need the FFA, you know, the administrators to sort out a few things. But look, I think once we get the independent A-League and we get promotion and relegation, we get a national second division, I think the game can really pick up again. And, it's too good a game to be in the doldrums. So, I think it's in a good position. I think we can make more advancements over the next 5 to 10 years.
You're the head of the FFA. What's the first thing you do?
Look, I'd love to try and get everyone together because there's so many different factions. They're all fighting against each other, all competing against each other. Everyone wants a bit of this and a bit of that and looking at their own egos and patting themselves on the back. I'd just love to see the game come together for once as one family, football family, put aside their differences and get on with, administering the game the way it should be.
Mm.
Matilda's build-up to the World Cup hasn't been ideal, Ray, but we know they're a quality side. They open their campaign tonight against Italy. How far can they go?
Oh, Ray, I think they can go a long way. Look, they need to sort out the defensive frailties. I think they've given away 11 goals in their last three games, and that's got to be a concern.
Yep.
Having said that, we've got the players who can score goals. Sam Kerr, obviously, Lisa Devana and Caitlin Ford, they're fantastic. The group we're in at the moment, I don't think it's that tough. Italy ranked 15 in the world, we're 6. We should get over the top of them. Jamaica we should beat. Brazil aren't the team that they used to be. I think their best player, Marta, is injured. So, they've got a great chance of topping that group, and which I'll move to. They have to top the group because you finish second or third, you're going to face one of the big guns in the knockout stage. So I think it's vital that they need to finish top of the group.
How much is the removal of Alan Stajic and the parachuting of Ante Milicic into the coaching role? How much does that stay with them during this World Cup, Ray?
I think the girls are big enough, professional enough to put that aside. It's gone. Look, it was disappointing that that situation came out last week with the apologies.
Yes.
And, the back down. So that tore open the wounds again, poured more salt in them. But, I think the girls were looking past that. You know, they know how big this tournament is. They know what pressure's on them to perform well. They want to perform well for the country. And, I don't think that's going to be an issue for them.
Mm. Tuesday's your last day, Ray. What's the future hold for Ray Gatt?
Ray, look, I'd like to still do a bit of freelancing, so I'll keep my eye in here and there. There's a couple little offers out there to do stuff. So, look, it's you can't walk away completely. Mm. So, I'll be around. I'll go to games. I'll hopefully go to a lot of Central Coast Mariners games, to be honest. Big part is I'll be able to enjoy it sitting in the stands having a beer rather than having to worry about deadlines.
Do you go to the pub on Tuesday at lunchtime and not go back, Ray? Because, what are they going to do to you?
I don't know. Well, they want to have a bit of a luncheon, but not on Tuesday, probably further down the track. But, I'll just go in and pot around, just clear my desk or whatever, say hello to a few people, goodbye to a few people, and just walk out that building. I think with my head held high.
It'll be a standing O as you walk out, Ray, too.
Oh, right. Fantastic, mate. A career that you can be justly proud of. Congratulations on it. Thanks for your insight around the Women's World Cup. We wish the Matildas all the very best. Their Group C match is against Italy, and it's being played tonight. Enjoy retirement retirement.
The next phase of your professional career.
Well said, Raymond.
I hope to see you around the racetrack too, because you've got a couple of interests in a couple of horses.
They go okay too for dynamic syndications, don't they?
They do, right? Great syndication, they are great people. Yeah. So, yeah.
Good
love
on
it.
You, mate.
Yeah, too good on you, Ray.
Cheers.
Thanks, Ray.
Ray Gatt there, been covering horse racing, rugby league, cricket, and, of course, football.
What a career, eh?
Since 1972.
What a career.
Straight out of school at Fairfield Patrician Brothers at Fairfield there.
What's that? Is that 47 years?
47 years.
Wow.
That's what you call a career. 13.53. Oh, by the way, Australia are the $2 favourites, the top Group C. Brazil $2.20. Italy $6. Jamaica $67, and they are favourites for that game tonight against Italy. 1353-53, the open line number. We'll take a break. We'll be back with a sports update, and then Dean Bulldog Richie.
The only place to catch the very best equine superstars from around the globe, first time, every time, is right here, live and exclusive across the Sky Racing Network.
Dali Stallions have sired three of the four juvenile Group 1 winners this season, including the Group 1 Blue Diamond.
Liar over the top! Liar's won the diamond!
The first three home in the Golden Slipper.
Can you meet you in front from Microphone and Liar?
And the stallion making Group 1 sired produce.
And Microphone's won it! Microphone's won the English sire.
Start with a Dali Stallion and the rest will follow.
Your family deserves to be safe and secure at home. That's where Wideline Windows and Doors can help. Their secure line screens offer security without compromising on design or your view. And their safe line window screens are designed to prevent falls, keeping your youngest family members safe and sound. For security, safety and peace of mind, call Wideline Windows and Doors or visit their website at www.wideline.com.au.
With Australian racing and breeding tables being dominated by sires who have delivered type and speed over and above their service fee price tags, Suburg offers breeders an opportunity to invest on the back of two big mare books of 152 and 178 in his first two seasons, Jimmy. That's important because he gets numbers on the ground when they come to racing age.
That's right.
Backed not only by Kitchwin Hills, but who's who of Australian racing and breeding, Suburg is all set to explode into the racing scene.
Yes, he is.
Your contributions are illuminating. If type matters, if two-year-old speed matters, then Suburg is poised. This is just the beginning, James Smith.
You're quite right, Ray.
Visit kitchwinhills.com.au.
The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, a sports update with Tanya Thomas.
Ash Barty will climb to number two in the world behind Naomi Osaka after her win last night in the final of the French Tennis Open. Ash beat nervous teenager Czech Markéta Vondrousova 6-1-6-3 in 70 minutes, the first set pulling up just under half an hour. The last Aussie to win the French was Margaret Court in 1973. Sam Stosur went close, making the final in 2010. Ash said it had been a magical 2 weeks and that she's proud of herself and her team. But that wasn't all the Aussie success in Paris, with Dylan Alcott winning the men's quad wheelchair singles, defeating American David Wagner 6-2, 4-6, 6-2. It's his eighth Grand Slam win from eight finals. Meantime, Dominic Thiem beat Novak Djokovic in five sets in the men's rain-interrupted semi and will play Rafael Nadal in the men's final tonight. Manly snapped the Cowboys' three-match winning streak with a 22-20 win over the home side in the NRL match in Townsville. After letting in three tries in 7 minutes at the end of the first half, coach Des Hasler gave the squad an almighty spray, which seemed to do the trick. Cronulla had a comprehensive 42-22 win over Parramatta in the Shire, and the Storm 32 beat the Warriors 10. Today the Broncos play the Titans, Penrith take on the Roosters, and it's the Bulldogs and the Dragons tomorrow. In AFL, GWS went down to Adelaide by 21 points. They came back from 21 down in the third quarter to hold the lead and with 10 minutes to go, but the Crows booted the last four goals of the game to win 82-61. A thrilling victory for Carlton caretaker coach David Teague and Ray Thomas, with the Blue Boys coming back from 37 down to beat Brisbane 78-63. North Melbourne 99 beat the Gold Coast 72. The Swans play West Coast today. The Brumbies secured Australian Conference honours with a 35-24 win over the Waratahs in the Super Rugby match at Bankwest last night. You got to feel for any Rebels fans who travelled to Christchurch for the match against the Crusaders, with the home team winning 66-0, a long trip home across the Tasman. Elsewhere, the Hurricanes 37 beat the Lions 17, and it was 24-all between the Highlanders and the Bulls.
Australia's biggest match at the Cricket World Cup so far awaits them tonight, taking on India at the Oval. Last night, England beat Bangladesh by 106 runs and New Zealand defeated Afghanistan by 7 wickets. Australia play its first match at the Women's Football World Cup tonight in France. The Matildas take on Italy with no fewer than 13 players backing up from the tournament 4 years ago. The Aussie girls have made the quarterfinals at the last 3 World Cups. Overnight, Germany 1, China 0, Spain 3-1 over South Africa and Norway 3, Nigeria 0. A late surge from Sir Winston carried him to success in the 151st running of the Belmont Stakes in New York this morning. Preakness winner War of Will was unplaced. The favourite, Tacitus, was second and Jovia came in third. Defending champ Sunshine Coast, too good for Adelaide with a 59-53 win in the first Super Netball match played in Darwin. West Coast Fever fought back to salvage a 62-all draw with GWS. Sebastian Vettel has pole for the Canadian Formula One Grand Prix. Daniel Ricciardo will start from fourth, which is his best qualifying position since October last year. And the fastest swimmers in the country descend on Brisbane today. They'll be there till Friday for the World Swim Trials, the swimmers competing for a spot in the Aussie team for the World Championships, which are in South Korea late next month. Boys, whilst we here in Australia obviously love the French Open with Ash Barty and Dylan Alcott, it's been trending, hashtag Lesigh, as in S-I-G-H. The centre of most of the discussion was the absence of the roof to deal with the horrendous weather. And in this day and age, a Grand Slam tennis tournament played in an arena, that should have a roof in this day and age.
Oh, what about the absence of the fans too?
Where were they? The half-empty stadiums were also another topic of discussion, a huge topic of discussion. The semi-final that was moved, another topic of discussion, the Ash Barty and the Amanda Anisimova, which was moved.
To an outside court.
That was half full for a semi-final at a Grand Slam. And that was moved for the Roger Federer-Rafael Nadal match. And that wasn't even at full capacity. Who would not want to go to that match?
Exactly.
You've been to Wimbledon, Ray. You know, they line up for hours.
Correct, yeah.
Just for an outside court match.
And they've got a roof over the centre court and number one court now at Wimbledon as well.
Well, they keep breaking attendance records year after year down at Melbourne, don't
exactly,
they?
Exactly,
for the Australian
you can't
Open.
Get
and that's,
down there.
That's a reflection of the more seats that become available.
Right.
You just wonder, you'd love to know about their pricing policy.
Yes, Ray and I, when we were talking about it, every night we would be watching it and vacant seats anywhere, everywhere. And I was thinking, I wonder how much the tickets must cost. But someone did mention on Twitter, said another city would be more appreciative of having such a big event on their doorstep.
Good point.
I wonder if that's...
if the Parisians aren't exactly...
Well, you know what they were doing, though, that the match between the first match of the Women's World Cup, France versus South Korea, which the French won 4-0, apparently, how they figured this out, I don't know, but 44.3% of French TV sets were tuned into that match. Maybe that's what they were doing. How do they know that? They knock on people's doors and say, what are you watching? I don't know.
The all-important ratings, Tim.
Yeah, absolutely. So that is huge from a sports point of view. I totally agree about a roof. Surely you can get other non-tennis product in there, like a conventions and all, you know, community. Surely they can get that some sort of funding.
Because the wind was really, it was causing havoc
horrific,
as well.
Yeah.
And weren't you saying, Ray, that the people, the ones that were on a certain end, was at a certain end.
At a certain end of the court,
court were winning the games because they had the strong wind.
They could break the serve much easier at one end of the court because the wind was going down behind him, etc. It was really tough for Federer and for Nadal, to be fair. And Djokovic made mention of it as well against TM, but he said, I don't want this to sound like an excuse. We both had to put up with it. So, again, you take those elements out of play. But in saying that, the tennis was outstanding, even with those elements, the wind. Like, Nadal and Federer was like watching two heavyweight boxers going toe-to-toe, and Djokovic and TM was exactly the same.
It allows itself for that, doesn't it, the clay, where you can run around the ball and hit the ball. You don't get that on the faster surface.
And you've got to think about the shot and how to manoeuvre that person's position to win the point. It's quite tense.
But I do find the sliding all over the place a little
off-putting.
I'm not a fan of the clay, but I am now. We've got two champions.
Yeah, yeah.
Love
that's
it.
Right.
You're like
Ash Barty,
a love affair with the clay now.
Thank you, Tam. We do appreciate that. 13:53:53. Looking for our most popular sports star on the back of Ash Barty's win. We've got the Godolphin cap, the Winx book, and may or may not have the Wingman beer. 13:53:53. The open line. Oh, big hello to Shane on Twitter too. He's got some issues around beer. Let's go to callers now. Wayne is on the line. G'day, Wayne.
G'day, fellas. How are we going?
Good really
morning,
well,
Wayne.
Mate.
Just everyone's talking about. Is there a better sportsman? I can't think of one than Chris Waller. Every time I see him, he's smiling, he's happy. Give the journalists his time, and he also you know, pats his staff on the back and get, he's so humble.
Yeah, no, Wayne, good point. And I've got to say, I have covered other sports, and in racing, we're absolutely spoilt for the access and the time that the participants like Chris Waller give us as journalists, because you don't get that in other sports.
Just run through that number again that he's done.
Topped the $40 million for the season, which is 5 years after he was the first to break $20 million in prize money horses.
Right, which is a reflection of his dominance, A, and B,
the prize money,
the
going
prize money
the
that's
roof.
Available. Mm. Yeah, let's stay
good
with
call, Wayne, yeah.
Chris is there. G'day, Chris.
Good morning, gents.
Morning, Chris.
Let me ask you a question. In this day of anti-discrimination, whether it be through gender or colour or sexuality, how come we can get a horse indication saying, sorry, gents, for women only?
Oh, yeah. It was brought in to try and get more women involved into syndications and involved in racehorse ownership. And to that end, it's worked very well, because now there is a lot more women racehorse owners than
right.
there were.
Right.
It was dominated by men. So in that area, probably the last 5 years, Magic Men's brought it in, and now there's other syndicates following suit.
Mm.
It's working, getting a lot more women involved.
Right. So is it a commercial decision or is it an inclusion decision?
Definitely a commercial decision to get more involved.
Right.
And inclusion, why not? You know, and now, well, is it necessary discrimination though?
Possibly. Possibly. Sometimes the pendulum has to swing back the other way to get a balance.
Mm.
There's
a really
great quote that I heard it a couple of weeks ago, but diversity is being invited to the party. Inclusion is being asked to dance.
Mm, funny about that. It's a good line.
It's a good line. Mm. Good line. Niels, thank you, Chris.
Yeah, good call.
Yeah, excellent.
Thought-provoking.
And that's what we like. Mm. Niels on the line. G'day, Neil.
Morning, guys. How are we?
Morning,
really
Neil.
Well, mate.
Can I just touch on two umpiring in both cricket and tennis at the weekend,
mm-hmm.
or the last couple of days?
Yep.
The umpiring in the Australian West Indies game was ridiculous.
Mm.
They were just firing blokes at will. And even Michael Holding pointed out, he said, the umpiring in this match is atrocious. And he said, not only that, the appealing. Mm. It was just ad nauseum.
Mm.
And he said, back in my day, he said, if you appealed more than twice and over, you started to get warning.
Yes.
And some of the umpire decisions were just disgraceful. And I was watching the end of the Djokovic team match last night.
Mm.
And Djokovic had a couple of running indiscretions with the umpire, and the commentator made the point that, oh, we probably won't see this umpire in any of Djokovic's upcoming matches. And it's like, well, hang on.
Yeah.
What do the players rule who umpires are?
Some players
have a lot of sway in the world of tennis, I can tell you.
Is the WTA just completely spineless?
Yeah. There was an incident, actually, early in the tournament. Dominic Thiem had just won his match.
Mm-hmm.
You heard about this?
Mm-hmm.
And he was due to give his press conference. And Serena Williams had just lost. And she demanded to go and do a press conference right then and there, otherwise she'd walk out. They had to... Dominic Thiem gets 10 minutes. So the press get 10 minutes to interview the winner.
Yes,
he got
yes.
four. He
yeah.
got told to leave because Serena wanted to go and do a press conference. That is staggering. Why not tell her to wait? And if she goes off, fine her.
You sure?
Tim, that diva behaviour, that's what she gets away with.
Well, that's right. What came first, the diva behaviour, or did the greatness come and then you can behave like a diva?
Well, she should behave more class.
What if Ash Barty wins her 23rd Open title, Grand Slam, in the French Open in 13 years' time, and she says, I don't want to do my press conference now. How do we respond?
Oh, she deserves to get fined.
She probably wouldn't do it. We think.
No.
Yeah.
Can't see
but
success changing her.
No, that's right. Nice call. Good on you, Neil. These are
thought-provoking. I like them.
Have we got quality controls over these calls this morning? They've been fantastic. Gary's on the line. No pressure, Gary.
You're giving it to me already. You're good, Jim. I like you. Hello, Ray.
How are you, Gary?
I want to speak about Parramatta. There's a couple of things about Parramatta I don't like.
Mm.
One with Mitchell Moses, he doesn't build a game, and it's all about building. He gets frustrated. He puts a play on, and if it doesn't work, he thinks about the play instead of saying to himself, I've got a tackle now. We get back into it.
Mm.
He doesn't understand that. In the opposition's half, they've got no idea. It's all about building. That's the key to the game. Now, When it comes to a centre, Hoffman's got to move on. He was caught out badly last night.
Yes.
He's too slow. They need a centre. And the hooker's got to kick. He's got to have a kicking game, the hooker. Yeah, the way I read the game, hookers, halves, centres, fullbacks should be all kicking. It's the most underrated thing in the game, and I've been saying for decades, the kicking game.
Well, I was
Cronk made a living from it.
Yeah. Mm. I was just about to question you about whether centres need a kicking game, and then I realised that Will Chambers, when he gets that kick in, when he dribbles it in, running across field, and he used the right foot to when he's playing on the right-hand side, and he invariably either gets it in the in-goal area or they're tackled a metre out from it, or they score.
Mm. And Damien Cook's made a point this year of trying to add the kicking game to his game because he said he did lack that last year, and so important for a hooker.
I'm a greater admirer of Reid Marnie, but I don't disagree with you. Those hookers that can kick, headlined by Cameron Smith, become very, very important. Robbie Farah's not bad at it, out of dummy half as well. Shane's on the line. G'day, Shane.
G'day, Jimmy. G'day, Ray.
Morning, Shane. Terrific, mate.
Ray, you like the even numbers, don't you?
I do, yeah. Jimmy tells everybody.
Hey, hang on,
week.
Shane. You just be careful because you're caller five in this block.
Well, that's okay. He's going to cut me off, Ray. You watch.
I wouldn't surprise.
Hey, Ray, because you like even numbers, I'll be the adjudicator on your bet. Yes, there was a bet between you, Jimmy, and Mossy.
Right.
I'll be the adjudicator. The bet was, like Jimmy said before, Liverpool and Man U, whoever finishes higher on the table, not win trophy.
So we still get the cartons. That's a beauty. That'll do me,
yes,
Shane.
Yes, one each. So you both get one each because I made a call that about 6-7 months ago about Leeds United and Rangers.
I remember this now. Yes. I'm a Leeds, I'm a Rangers man too.
Now, Shane, obviously, Shane, you'll obviously produce some sort of evidence to back up your claims.
You're telling Shane.
I'll describe those wild claims.
No, that's okay. I've got a diary. I'll give you the Sunday. I can go back in my diary.
Okay, what is
Sunday.
It? What
it's
is
all
it?
Panel operator.
Hang on. So let me just clarify this then, Shane. Every Sunday in your diary, you write down what was spoken about on this program.
No, only when I win a prize.
Did you win a prize on that occasion?
That, yes.
Right. Did you receive that prize?
That's important.
Yes.
Oh, the beauty.
Well,
the system does work sometimes.
I always receive the prize.
Right.
Just quickly before I get on to the sportsman, I heard a rumour. Well, I didn't hear a rumour. I heard Jamie on the radio last week or the week before. She's got 34s on Toronto.
Really?
There you go.
Jeez.
Well done.
You're in a box seat now.
Jamie Rogers. Well, the odds are 92% of the teams that lead 3-1 in the playoff series go on and win.
Kevin Durant, the key. Okay, quickly, Shane, what do you got for us?
Yeah, I've got three people that I think I've never heard a bad word spoken about either one of them. I'll go John Newcombe, Dawn Fraser, and a very, very special mention to Kenny Rosewell. Worldwide.
Yep.
Yeah, old Muscles Rose.
Can't
very
knock
popular.
Either those three.
Good on you, Shane. You started poorly, but you finished well. So we do appreciate that call. 1352-53, the open line number. We're going to take a break now. Ray and I have got to sort out some things, some really deep personal issues. And when we're back...
Can't come in my way. It's a beauty.
Dean Bulldog Rishi with the latest on Rugby League.
The only place to catch the very best equine superstars from around the globe, first time, every time, is right here. Live and exclusive across the Sky Racing Network.
Dynamics Indications, Gay and Adrian proudly offer a quality yearling filly by Zoostar, the hottest young sire in Australia, champion first crop sire and now leading second crop sire. Our filly is from Moon to French, a stakes winner and Group 1 place to champion Mare Zenyatta. And our filly's had four siblings to race, all winners. Join our dynamic Gay and Adrian team in this fabulous filly at $12,885 per share. For info, visit dynamicsindications.com or call 1-800-619-999. AFSL 3360-808.
With 530 weanlings in the catalogue, the 2019 English Great Southern Sale is your last chance to purchase a weanling to pinhook through next year's yearling sales. Weanlings are by sires including Schnitzel, Zoostar, Brazen Bow, Exceed and Excel, Written Tycoon and many more. Sale begins Sunday, June 16 at Inglis's renovated Oaklands complex. Catalogue online now. Go to inglis.com.au.
On the left, Jerry Evans on the right. That's him. Now, Ponga. Floating past the Gagai.
Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Welcome back to the show. James, you better introduce our next guest because I made a botch of it last week.
Time now to speak to the number one rugby league writer of the Daily and Sunday Telegraph, Dean Bulldog Ritchie. Hello, Dino.
It's a pleasure to be back.
That was embarrassing last week. Hey, Dino, I'm going to put you on the spot straight away. Paul Kent, your colleague, yesterday in the Daily Telegraph wrote this. They blew it on Wednesday night, and it wasn't as simple as failed completions or missed opportunities, but mistakes in the coaching box that cost New South Wales victory. And until it is acknowledged, it threatens to be repeated. Do we think that Brad Fittler, and as Zorba said earlier, everyone loves Freddie, no one more than me, but is he under a bit of pressure for the first time as New South Wales coach?
Well, Jimmy, he came in last year and it was magic, wasn't it? We won our first game, we won our second game. Series over. I guess this is the first time that Freddie's actually had to confront some obstacles, some hurdles, some criticism in the written media and also on social media. So we're just going to see how Freddie will handle it. Knowing Freddie, as we all do, he's very laid back, he's very calm. I can't see it really getting to Freddie in terms of pressure, but certainly there's some issues. We've got no David Plummer. Cody Walker was dragged off, question marks over the interchange.
Yes.
We don't come back to Sydney even for game two, which would be the norm. We're off to Perth.
Yes.
We asked Freddie at the airport, Jimmy, on Thursday morning whether he had bungled the interchange. He said it was one of the few things that they got right on Wednesday night. But I guess I'm a bit old school, Jimmy. I've always believed that you start with the best team, then you finish with the best team.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Dino, a lot of people calling for changes, and there's also the alternative argument that each and every time New South Wales are under pressure, they make wholesale changes instead of picking and sticking like supposedly Queensland do. How do you see the Blues line up for game two?
Well, certainly Clemmer's gone, Ray, as we know. I think you'll find they're looking at Tarmel, Jordan McLean, who did injure a hamstring last night. He's having scans today. Junior Paul is another one, although unlikely. And Matt Lodge would be the great redemption story if he was to be picked. I'm hearing that he has his nose ever so slightly in front. There's still, of course, 1.5 rounds of NRL to go, so they're not going to rush into any decision. The fascinating option for me, though, is at 5'8". Look, quite clearly, Cody Walker is a natural footballer. He's waited a long time. He's 29 years old, but he got, as the old saying goes, you know, caught in the headlights, I think, on Wednesday night, was dragged off midway through the second half. Do they stick with Cody or do they go back to Mitchell Pearce as another option? It's a very delicate issue. You know, Cody Walker's probably waited a long time and, you know, do you just throw him out after 80 minutes? Some might deem that a tad unfair.
I think we've all had our thoughts on this, and the injury to Luke Keary really did upset the apple cart from Brad Fittler's halves point of view. The question is, not only what would you do, as in what all of us would do, but what is Brad going to do? I get the feeling, Dino, that Nathan Cleary will most definitely be there. And to be honest, I'll be surprised if Cody Walker is not there.
Yeah, I spoke to them after the game, Jimmy. And look, Nathan Cleary did what Nathan Cleary was there to do. Just guide it steady. He kicked okay. His defence was sound. He's never going to be a Jonathan Thurston. He's never going to be an Andrew John. So if they're the expectations, then we've got the wrong bloke. But they aren't the expectations on young Nathan. And I think he did a job on Wednesday night. Again, you know, it isn't superb. Some might say it isn't at Origin level, but he does what he does, and he does it to the best of his ability. I think he'll be there, Jimmy. I don't think they'll kick him out based on that game. And look, Mitchell Pearce probably deserves a crack given his form this year, but personally, I'd like to see Cody Walker be given another chance. It's no slight on Mitchell. I just think Cody's waited a long time. His form has been exceptional this year, and I just think he's worth another crack over there in Perth, albeit, you know, we're only 80 minutes now. It gets a bit shaky, doesn't it, from losing the series.
It might be easy to say now with the injury to David Clemmer. Did Brad Fittler do enough to try and convince Andrew Fifita to play for New South Wales again? Because, gee, wouldn't he be handy?
I don't think he... I wouldn't say he doesn't want him there, Jimmy. That's not the issue. I mean, quite clearly, based on football, he would. But Fifita has repeatedly made it clear he doesn't want to play for New South Wales. And it goes against the the fabric and the culture that Freddie is trying to build inside the Blues camp. So I don't think they'll go cap in hand of Andrew Fifita. Although, Jimmy, you make a valid point. I'm sure deep down, if you could get him back, you push him straight in there.
Mm. Talking a lot about New South Wales, but seriously, Dino, Queensland were fantastic, weren't they? Ponga at fullback was extraordinary. Their halves combination, Munster and DCE, were outstanding. And I know Jimmy in particular thought Benny Hunt had a blinder. So Queensland got it right again.
Yeah, they did, Ray. I thought at 8-0, albeit New South Wales was ahead, certainly from my point of view, I wasn't incredibly optimistic. It's not like I thought that they had thoroughly dominated. They possibly could have scored another try, which may have just pushed them out beyond Queensland's return levels. But that first 10 to 15 minutes in the second half, physically, I just thought Queensland totally dominated us, and it certainly brought the crowd back into the game. And then from there, as you said, Ponga, Cherry Evans, Munster were absolutely outstanding. And look, every year we go through the debate who the best player in the game is. We've had the Thurstons and the Smiths, etc., etc. But gee, Kalyn Ponga now, if you had to one person on the open market, I think every single club out there would be going in boots and all for Ponga, because every year he gets older, he gets more and more special, and he is a genuine superstar of our game.
Absolute bargain at $600,000 a year, which everyone questioned when the Newcastle Knights first did that. Okay, let's have a look at some of the other names that are popping up at the moment, Dino. Wonga Blake, DWZ, Moses Mbai. Where will they be come June 30?
Yeah, the West Tigers, it's a fascinating situation there, Jimmy. Obviously, Michael Maguire is trying to reinvigorate his roster there. The speculation continues about Moses Mbai's future, albeit Maguire and Mbai themselves have said he's not going anywhere. He's still there until 2021, but I'm hearing that the announcement with Watini Zelezniak will be only a day or so away. I spoke to the Bulldogs last night. They're resigned to Dallin going to the West Tigers, and they were pretty much the last club standing who had interest in him. So if he plays fullback, where does it leave Moses? Does he put him back to the bench? Is he a centre? It's a very difficult situation to try to, solve out there for Maguire, given he's on fair money. Josh Reynolds is another one on good money. Russell Packer's on the outer. So at the moment, West Tigers are really trying to... And look, it's a very delicate situation when you're trying to reinvigorate your roster. You don't want to offend people, particularly mid-season. But certainly some hard decisions are going to have to be made. So I think DWZ will be at the West Tigers. And as Buzz Rothfield reported this morning, Regan Campbell, Gillard, Wonga Blake, Jack Hetherington, 3x5 and Cleary is prepared to let go. Certainly Campbell Gillard will be the one that would raise some eyebrows, given he's back in the first grade, of course, playing this afternoon. And it was only just 1 year ago he was in that New South Wales State of Origin side. Mm.
And you got some news on Jaden Brayley, Dino?
Yeah, I keep hearing about the Newcastle Knights here, Ray. They have met with him. And the more I sort of hear, the more I'm led to believe that he may head up to Newcastle. Danny Levi is their hooker. He's out injured at the moment. He's under contract next year. But I think you'd find if they can jag Brady, they would let Levi go. So no deal yet. I'm sure Cronulla don't want to lose Jaden Brayley, but the mail I'm getting is that he might be pretty close to heading up the older F3.
I'll tell you what, in the space of 80 minutes, Connor Watson has shown that he can play hooker and play it very, very well. It's amazing how those things can change very quickly. You got some news on the Broncos roster as well, Dino?
Yeah, there is a bit of news, Jimmy. They've got a fair bit to spend now, given Jimmy Roberts has upped and left. But what I am hearing is that they're just not going to go into panic mode and go and grab anyone they can. They hope that they'll be now able to make improved offers to Matt Lodge and to Vita Pangai to seal them down. I think they'll find the two young kids that will benefit most from Roberts leaving is young Tom Dean, the halfback, and their outstanding centre, Katoni Staggs. I think you'll find that they will both get improved offers in the next year or two. So I don't think Brisbane will be heavy in the open market chasing the first bloke who comes onto the market, but I think you'll find that the two winners here will be Dean and Staggs, which is not a bad thing because both of them quite clearly are long-term stars at the Broncos.
I wonder if Matt Lodge could pick up a third-party deal.
Unlikely.
You're an organisation out there. Do you know? I'd reckon every Broncos first grader's got a third-party agreement.
Except me.
Although, actually, no, that based on the NRLs. Oh, yeah, no, that, yeah, Broncos are big on it. Anyway, Dino.
Give him a bit of credit, too. Look, he's done really well, Matt Lodge, since he's come back. Quite clearly, we all saw that horrible vision. He ended up in Rikers Island prison. But since then, I've got to give him his dues. It's a great redemption story, and he seems to be really towing the line up there. And in due course, of course, that would mean, you know, he's playing some really good football, which may lead to a Blues jumper.
No, I think that's a fair comment. All right, Dino, let's have a look at those sides for the three games that we've got remaining in round 13. Broncos-Titans today at 2.
Yep, Suncorp Stadium out. Matt Gillette, Corey Oates, Joe Offa-Hengau. The Broncos have decided to rest a couple of injured players there from Origin. David Fifita will start. Ricky Kinnear, former South player, will debut on the wing. Jaden Sewer, Pat Gorrigan onto the bench. Good news, though, for the Broncos. Andrew McCulloch backs from the injury and will come off the bench. At the Gold Coast, Riley Jacks will be the replacement there for young Ash Taylor, of course, granted leave by the club. The big 4 o'clock game out there at Penrith, Roosters Panthers. Nathan Cleary will play for Penrith in jumper 21. Good news there. The Roosters, though, Latrell Mitchell and Angus Crichton won't play. Boyd Cordner looks like he will play, and James Tedesco, Mitch Orbison and Nat Butcher will come in for Mitchell and Crichton. And, of course, the 4 o'clock game tomorrow on Monday, Bulldogs, Dragons, ANZ Stadium. They've still got a captain trying to get through, so nothing confirmed just yet, but the Bulldogs are expecting Dylan Nafa to play. And a few days ago, Paul McGregor did name Frizzell, Hunt and Vaughan, said if they all got through Origin, they would play. And they did all get through Origin, so we expect that trio to be backing up for the Red V.
Good on you, Dino. We've got to fly, mate. Have a great Sunday, and we'll speak to you next week.
Thanks, Ben. Cheers.
See you, Dino.
There goes Dean Bulldog Ritchie, the number one rugby league writer at the Daily and Sunday Telegraph. Time now to speak to Scotty Foster. I'll tell you what, we've got his ad here. It's Fair Dinkum War and Peace, Scotty. Good morning, mate. You there, bud? Scotty?
Now he's good morning, boys.
How are you, Scotty?
Just looking at this ad. Let's get into it, because it's dead set war and peace. How'd you go last week? Did you sell your car?
No, we never.
Oh, you're making this up now, I think.
it's been pretty quiet. It's been very quiet at work at the moment, so we need
ramp
to
it up,
get
Scotty.
Some action happening.
Yeah, all right, well, tell us about this car today, the 2003 Toyota Tarago.
Yes, we've got another fantastic vehicle on special. This one is an 8-seater. It's the most popular people mover on the market. Powered by the most reliable engine in its class, the 4-cylinder 2.4-litre engine, and this 4-speed automatic transmission will also be very economical. And, of course, the Tarago GLI comes with all the safety and comfort options you expect from Toyota, including the dual-zone air conditioning. This one's white in colour. It comes with logbooks and service history, and this one even has the roof racks and a tow pack to make it the perfect family vehicle. On special for the listeners today at a scintillating $5,990. This is a super special, so go to the website www.fosterskwalitycars.com.au or give us a call on 96375024 and make sure you mention Sky Sports Radio, because as you'll see, this is actually a lot cheaper advertised today than what we've got it on the website. So be quick and get on the phone now, 96375024.
And Scotty, you can help our listeners with finance too.
Certainly can for this vehicle or any of our other cars or trucks. If it's finance you're after, we have access to a number of lenders. This allows us to get the best possible rates, but also allows us to help a lot of people that couldn't previously get finance get into a car. So if you've had credit issues in the past, now's the time to give us a call. If you're on a pension, have paid or unpaid defaults, even if you're starting a new business and need a work vehicle, then go to our website, www.fosterskwalitycars.com.au, or give us a call on 96375024. And don't forget, if it is a truck you're after, we have gone into partnership with the Good Truck Wholesalers, Mick Appleby and the Good Truck Wholesalers, that we now supply trucks as well as cars to all our loyal listeners. And these are the cheapest trucks in Australia. So give us a call on 96375024 and let us know what sort of truck you're after. And if we don't have one to suit you, we'll find the best one available at the best possible price.
Now, the big boss has been out at Nyngan for the Nyngan Tigers Rugby League reunions.
He has. Dad's gone out there. A big shout-out to the Nyngan Tigers. They celebrated a reunion for the 1979 and 89 Grand Final side. Yeah, Dad was out there. He was part of the 1979 side.
Oh, there you go.
He finished his career there, and I started mine. So a little bit of trivia for anyone out there that cares.
I'll tell you what, that's the world's toughest trivia question. I know that.
only around our family.
Exactly.
But mate, they had Malcolm Johnson as a guest speaker out there, and also the famous Ningen horse trainer Rodney Robb. They were out there. They would have had a great night. So well done to the Ningen Tigers.
Good on you, mate. We do appreciate that. Please tell us. We've got to sell this. Let's go. Come on, listeners. Buy this Toyota Tarago. Get online. Check it out. Fosters.qualitycars.com.au or give Scotty and the team a call. 96375024. Good on you, Scotty. We'll speak next week.
All right, boys. Have a great long weekend or the rest of it.
Yeah, you too. Absolutely. See you, Scotty. Fosters.qualitycars.com.au. Coming up on Racing HQ, Hawkesbury Preview with Chantelle Buckley. John Scores is going to take a look at the Sapphire Coast. And remember, the Big Sports Breakfast returning Tuesday at 5:30.